Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sea Vets Podcast. We're your hosts, Georgina Piltz.
And Ruben Cervantes.
And today's episode, episode 57, we have a special treat for all of you. This is our team gathering together.
That's right.
We have Nani and Angela joining us. Thank you, ladies.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Hey.
So if you have been joining us over the past weeks, which we hope you have, you would have followed us on the journey of understanding a little bit more about the horrific racial tension that's been happening specifically here in America, but we know it goes on worldwide. And we had Dave Slyker and Thurston Bowden join us as they just kind of uncovered their hearts and take us on the journey with them. And it was just really beautiful and really sweet. And this episode today is an introduction to apostolic impact.
That's right.
We are wanting to kind of unpack what the apostles say and the power that they walked in. And actually, it's available for us today too, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, in the past couple of episodes, you know, we just talking about this racial issue, which, you know, obviously has been a systemic thing that's been going on for a long time. So it's not new. It's just that this moment emerged it in the global national scene. And in some ways, it's really good. In some ways, it's been really nasty. And so there's always mixture in these kinds of things. But one of the things that emerged in our conversations in these podcasts is the how much the apostles actually had something to say about these kinds
right.
of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just compelled us to begin this new series on apostolic impact, because the way that we define apostolic impact and the way they self-defined apostolic impact is it's very different. And mm-hmm. and I think that it's just, it would be very useful for us as the church to be able to grab a hold of what we have access to
mm-hmm.
right now,
yeah,
you know?
That's true.
And I think that's what why I guess we wanted to talk about. And I'm just excited because Angela and Nani, I mean, just in our conversations, I know we had a meal together recently at my
yeah.
house, and this kind of came up, these kinds of conversations related to what God's doing and what we have access to. So,
yeah.
So I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. First of all, I do want to say, what does apostolic mean? So I was Googling it, and it actually specifically says that apostolic, that word is messenger.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever really grasped it, because when we talk about who the apostles are in the Bible and what they do, sometimes you just don't get to the fundamental point of what that word means. So messenger, I feel like it's actually quite important, because we can all be messengers.
Yeah, it's like
in our own
I mean
way.
There's different ways to translate, but yeah, it's that idea that they were sent mm-hmm. forward from someone, you know, for the sake of giving a message. They're set ones.
Yeah.
And so it's not, you know, when we hear apostle, it seems like, I mean, maybe you have something to say this, Nani, because in Latin America, you know, apostol, like that's like somebody wearing a badge of like, I'm awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's now super apostles and patriarchs and certain
oh, wow.
content. I know, because it's like, it's a title game.
Do they get like capes? If you're a super apostle, it's like, you're super cool.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny. So obviously we hear some of that. And I don't know how it is in you know, Taiwan or the Chinese church, but I'm assuming that the apostolic isn't as simple as just being a sent one, is it?
No, there is like an honor that's attached to the titles. And so I love what you said about that. It's a title game, basically. It is how much honor can I get by what am I being called?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the negative side of it, and we've seen it. But of course, there's what we want to be able to discover here is actually it's a gift that God gives the church. Mm-hmm. You know, he gives the church apostles and prophets and teachers and so forth. The point is that being an apostle is a dignified role.
Yeah.
But it's not like therefore you have more authority or you're better. You know, like in that sense, like you matter more to God. Maybe
right.
there's a little bit more
mm-hmm.
influence and authority, but no, God. He chooses everyone in their place, and that's what's important here. And so
yeah.
I think that's something that we want to touch. And so the idea of apostolic impact that I want to get into is to realize that this is connected to the Holy Spirit anointing and gifting people with a certain
mm-hmm.
set of gift mix
yeah.
to benefit the church. And the apostles is who we learn from in the scriptures.
Yeah. It's so true. And I mean, if we want to dive into apostolic love, even, I feel like that's definitely been part of the conversation for the past couple of years. What is love in the context of family, in the context of organization? And it's so funny because my husband and I just started reading through the New Testament together. And when I knew that we'd be doing this small series on apostolic impact, I said to myself, I was like, what is that? What does that mean? Whether or not you use that the terminology of apostolic impact, we sometimes say the right things in that. But anyway,
right.
We were reading through Romans, and I realized, and it really touched my heart, about how the main message of the apostles, and specifically Paul, was a message of love and right. a message of races coming together, of cultures coming together, of ethnicities coming together.
Right.
And it blew my mind. I was like, all the time he was like, hey, no, I'm actually going to go preach to the Gentiles that they may come into the promise that was promised to the Jews, that we may be one body, one family. And again, he just kept honing it in on this one message, which is apostolic love and loving one another, giving your enemy food, giving your enemy water. And I think that was so impactful, because even, I mean, Angela talked to us about this, but a couple of years ago we had the convergence take place.
Yeah.
And one of the main messages was being a family in the midst of an organization. And it's just been rocking our world ever since.
Yeah, no, totally. I love how we're starting the apostolic series with apostolic love. Yeah. Because what your point of the New Testament being about love is, they built, like, first century churches didn't exist. There was no such thing. Yeah. They didn't worry about, like, you know, what's the procedure, you know, do we do announcements first, do we have a children's ministry? No, it was like, how do we still gather together and spread the gospel without dying?
Right. You
know? It's like, how do we find as many of us as possible with the common community and common love and common vision that God is sovereign, and that, you know, the gospel of his cross and how we are saved through his blood, and how we're brought into a new citizenship, like Paul right. said, right? We're a new nation, we're a holy people, a priesthood, right? And that is part of what the convergence brought. Was it was in the context of honor, of family honoring one another. And what stood out to me in the convergence, I guess, time or period, was it was, I think, the climax or the tipping point of the whole event was when the Chinese began to, you know, wipe their tears on the shoes of IHOPKC leaders. And that was part of the honoring of that was, you know, in the past, it was Western Christians who laid their lives down to spread the mission, to spread the gospel to the Eastern world. And so many of them die of martyrdom, but they never got to see the fruits of their work.
Wow.
And so now they came back, you know, Eastern came back and brought the gospel back, right? Yeah. Now we're bringing the gospel back to the Western world. And so as they were doing that, I have made the commitment with the ring that says, you guys are my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. So where you're in persecution in China, we will stand with you. When you're in jail, we are in jail with you. And so that took down the barrier of Western versus Eastern. And that is what, like John 15 said, where Jesus said, this commandment I give to you, you know, lay down your life for one another.
That's a tall order.
There's no greater love than when you lay down your life for your brothers, mm-hmm. for your sisters. And for me personally, in this season right now, Asia is shaking. You know, whether it's North Korea and South Korea, whether it's China and Hong Kong, or even Taiwan, it's like I have to consider the possibility that I may not have a nation to go back to, right? Like, that's something you never think about, except for maybe in the Old Testament when, you know, Babylon comes and you're like, oh no, you're gonna wipe us
totally,
out.
Totally.
But in the modern context, to think that there's a possibility where a whole nation or a whole group or even just your family yeah. members being wiped. And then so I had to wrestle internally of, okay, is it am I willing to die for democracy? Because then it's communism coming into democracy. Or am I willing to die for my nation, right? Because it's nation against nation. Or am I going to preserve my life and learn, like Daniel, to serve in the Babylonian Empire for the gospel and lay down all of my other identities and leave the only identity of being a daughter of Christ, of being a priesthood, of I am only loyal to one king, which is Jesus Christ. Am I willing to say that and lay that all down? And just like, wow, I got some issues to deal with before that.
We all do.
Oh my goodness.
Is beautiful.
Yeah.
It just makes you kind of just like wanna.
Yeah, because it's no longer about blood relations. Right. Like in Asia, blood relations is very important. Like honor of family. I may not have seen you, you know, in any of my family gatherings, but if by blood we're connected, I will honor you, host you, no matter how many, you know, steps we are apart. But to consider that, you know, like Jesus said, right, you have to deny your family. You have to deny your parents. Yeah. You know, let the dead bury the dead, bury themselves. And you're like, okay, this is
a little intense, Jesus. Come on. Give a break here. It's my mama.
Right. Wow. No, that's so good. And I mean, Paul even says, like, one wouldn't die for a bad man, scarcely maybe a good guy. But then Jesus came and laid down his life whilst we were still sinners.
Wow.
Sinners. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, for us to easily to easily lay down our life for our brother means that I need to love my Latino brothers and sisters just as much as I love my blood relatives, as you're saying. And I'm like, can we say that we love our Black brothers and sisters the same way? Can we say that we love our Asian brothers and sisters the same way? And it's like what you're saying, to love and be completely dedicated to one king means to love the way he loved. And that means to lay down our lives without second thought, in a way. But that definitely means that there's big conversations that need to take place in our heart first.
And I mean, that's what the gospel was, right?
So
in the original sense of, in order to spread the gospel, you actually have to take the risk of laying down your life. Right, because you're sharing the gospel with someone that you don't know if they're a soldier or if they're going to sell you out, you know, or if they hate you. And then in that moment, like, do you look in their eyes and say, I forgive you, right before, you know, they kill you, hopefully. And listen, dying is the easy.
Oh, I know, right? I'm like, let's not think about anything else right now.
No, that's, man, these are really strong statements. Wow.
And if you think about it too, I'm thinking the words of Jesus, like right before going to the cross, he said, love one another, be one family, so that people will know that I am your father, that they will come to the knowledge of the Lord. Like it's through that way of loving that people are going to see something different and they will glorify the Lord. It's by the way that we act. It's by the way that we love one another. And I'm even thinking, you know, with everything that is happening with like the virus and the racial tension and all of these, is like so clearly like written in Matthew 24, like line by line. And then, you know, it says the gospel will be preached to all nations. It's like right after. And I'm thinking like, just like a little connection that I had. I'm like, well, we're going to grow into maturity of our hope through all these difficulties. We're going to grow into the maturity of love because we're going to see this racial, like these ethnos against ethnos and worldviews against worldviews, like all of these. And we're going to be the church. We're going to be one. We're going to love one another. And the gospel will be preached through that. You know, it's I feel like sometimes we put that a little bit in a box of like, how do we get the gospel to be like, how do we like, we need as many versions of the Bible translated, all of that. But the body of Christ walking through the church, it's ultimately in love what I think will gain people to the Lord. So.
No, that's so good. That insight is so helpful. To realize that it's in the midst of the worst kind of, you know, crisis and climate that the gospel emerges.
Right.
I mean, that's what basically another way to say what you just quoted from scripture is that while that nation is against nation, then from then all, you know, every ethnos, all the nations will hear the gospel preached. Like, you know, that Matthew 24, 14, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached everywhere in the midst of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it just gives me hope in the midst, you know, as we're just been in this whole, just the way it's been so loud and painful, this, you know, the racial issues. It's like, hey guys, this is a time for the church to rise.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, so the first episode that we're going to cover in this series after this one, obviously, is Apostolic Love with Isaac Bennett. So a little plug there, shameless plug. Make sure you chime in because Isaac is amazing and I can't wait for him to drop glory bombs on this thing we've been discussing for the past few minutes. But then we're going to get into the apostolic prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Which of course I don't want to say too much on because that's, you know, that's just a lot of beautiful things for later, but only to say that the prayers weren't just like, Jesus, give me this, give me that. There was real deep theology of what they believed about God, what they were asking for informs a lot. And there's a lot to learn from them that can also help us to understand what we have access for today.
Oh, yeah.
Then we're going to move into the apostolic servanthood.
Servanthood.
Which that, I want to camp there a little bit just because you started out this podcast, Georgie, mm-hmm. by talking about kind of the basic meaning of apostle, right? But I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 because that's where Paul begins to unpack a little bit of what, you know, what it means to be an apostle. What's the ministry of the apostle? And, you know, what I, you know, of course, you know that there's some fights going on and, you know, they're like, I'm with this guy, I'm with that guy. So he's trying to address that. So let me actually start in verse 18 of verse chapter 3. It says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So verse 21, so let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, right? So it says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. Now here it goes. Chapter 4, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ. And this is talking about the apostolic assignment, right? Mm-hmm. Which is important to understand as we enter into this series of apostolic impact. So who are these guys? Why apostolic, you know? What is this? Why the silent T, you know? An apostle. I'm joking. all right, so it says, this is how one should regard us as servants. That's like the first thing he says, the servants of Christ. And here, this is beautiful. And secondly here, stewards of the mysteries of God.
Like, whoa.
I know. But so we always go there and ignore the servants.
Right. Well, because that's the glorious part, isn't
it? Yeah.
Glorious, well, in inverted commas.
Well, and that's the thing is that we've actually glossed over this apostolic servanthood. Mm-hmm. Because it's actually the first thing. Hey, regards us as servants. Actually, that's enough to say. But I'll give you a little bit more clarity. Servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You know, like,
right.
I mean, I'm sure it was just as meaningful. Don't get me wrong. I just want us to hear the tone that Paul chose to put servants as the first thing, which shows priority. Servants of Christ. He's not doing the secret humble thing or the fake humble thing. Mm-hmm. He's actually making a statement. Guys, we're servants of Christ, the crucified king. Like, that's who we are. In fact, we'll see more of that later. It says, verse 2, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. In other words, you're not off the hook. Verse 3, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. So he's making a statement here like, hey, if you're questioning what's going on, like, you know, like God himself, I'm subject to his judgment. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So then he's talking about not pronouncing judgment and so forth. Let's keep moving forward. Of course, he's dealing with this issue that's happening, right? But I just wanted to touch this part here. I think it's in verse 10 that it starts. Verse 9. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all. So here he begins to define the characteristics of an apostle. Last among all, like men sentenced to death. Okay, so if you have your apostle badge, just hold it up, put it down if you don't like what I'm reading. Ready? or if you're like an aspiring apostle or something like that, just listen to this. This is, for I think that God exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world. In other words, not famous for good reasons. You have stigma to angels and to men. Verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, you are strong, because the whole point is we serve you. We put ourselves in the place to make you strong, you know, that kind of thing. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed, for those, you know, Instagram missionaries, and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. There was this statement of servanthood, even to, like, you know, of course, Paul in particular was very zealous to not receive money in a certain season to teach them, guys, I'm not here to benefit financially from you, even though you think that of me. So, you know what? I'm just going to work with my own hands because my assignment is to help build the church. You know, that was beautiful, sacrificial living, because he says, no, you know, the worker's worthy of his wages, all that. Sorry, I don't want to get too far in that. But the point is, he's describing the apostolic framework here, right? When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Guys, in this context that we're experiencing such tension and, you know, all this, you know, just public, you know, pain being on display, I just think of this. Like, the apostolic servanthood looks like this. The apostolic response is like this. That when reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. In other words, if you're going to be faithful, as the apostolic message is to be, that, which I'm going to ahead of myself because that's the following podcast episode is going to be the apostolic message, then you are going to be hated for it. Because in this hour, the gospel doesn't change. In this time of, you know, of this crisis globally that's happening and then followed by a national crisis, like, the gospel isn't popular right now.
Right.
And it still hasn't changed. So if you're going to be faithful to it, then you're going to experience this being the scum of the world.
He definitely takes out all entitlement and all glory looking at what it really means to carry the message of the gospel.
Right.
And I think that's completely opposite to how we want to see it. If I, like, I imagine if you're carrying the mysteries of God, sometimes you can see yourself getting entitled to, hey, I actually know it, so you need to listen to me. So put me on the platform, give me the microphone, give me every platform that you have that I actually can slightly be honored, because guess what? God is honoring me by giving me the mysteries of God.
Right.
I think time and time again, when I've seen these amazing people chosen by God to preach a message, it's always because they're weak and broken, and he needs weak and broken so that his glory can actually be seen. And I think that's what Paul is getting at here, is he knows how weak and broken he is and how much power God is having to use to make him actually a messenger for himself.
Right.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's powerful. I mean, I just, when I read this a couple of years ago, like, you know, I was going through just the whole New Testament and I had my highlighters out. It just came out of the page so loudly. It's like, I want more of these, but so few would choose this, you know? And I just felt the pain. It's like God gives the church with apostolic, prophetic voices. And again, think about the prophet, you know, like, oh, I'm a prophet of God. What I want to say about this, like, it's not bad to want to be used by God, but we use them as badges of honor, or we think of other people who are prophetic or apostolic or pastoral or teachers or evangelists, or whatever. We almost give them the status that stripped from the position of servanthood and what God, you know, like, Jesus is our main model. In Philippians chapter 2, we see this humility, like, that Paul says, learn from him.
Yeah.
You know, he did not consider equality with God as something to take advantage of, but instead he, you know, he took the form of a slave. And so the point that I'm saying with this is when I read this, it's like, wow, God's like, oh yeah, like, I want way more people, but so few would choose this life.
Totally. To be a fool isn't very distinguished in this world.
And then of course, so that's the following episode that we'll be discussing, is the apostolic message.
Oh, it's all so sobering. You realize how far you are from this. Yeah, like there's a huge gap between my heart and 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Right. I mean, look, I, as you guys know, I'm the director of the School of Worship here at the International House of Prayer University. And, you know, like as an educator of a theological institution, like, you know, it's not about the shiny Bibles, you know, and the, you know, just the right understanding of even what the scriptures are saying. Like, how should I say this? Like, one of the things that troubles me is that we graduate people with puffed up heads and hearts that are just, you know, cold. Mm-hmm. And what I hear from the apostles and the apostolic message is a message of love. It's a message of sacrifice, a message of hope, of a day coming, and where they don't consider these material things as something, or even the career path or things like that. And of course, I want to set people up for success, that they find a successful career path as a musician, a worship pastor, whatever. Yeah. I mean, because that's my job and, you know, my day job. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I like, my heart burns that we would be a burning and shining people, just like the apostles were.
Yeah.
And that our message would be untainted and unmoved, regardless of any potential change in society or anything. You know, like, one day it'll be very, I mean, we say it's unpopular now to preach the gospel. Guys, we live in a free country. And by free, I mean, we're not dying for standing faithful for Jesus. When that time comes to the global scene, then the question is, will we stay faithful?
Right.
And I want to be among a burning and shining people that will be faithful by the grace of God.
Totally.
Yeah. I love how, like, a lot of times we think, like, faithfulness is in that moment, you know, you're facing death and you're like, no, I still choose Jesus. But if in the everyday choices we make, we don't say yes to Jesus, it's going to be really hard to say yes to Jesus with a gun pointing at you. Again, if you're lucky. Because I think about this a lot, right? A lot of times we go like, oh, you know, God speaks to us, but are we willing to be an instrument that he speaks through? Are we willing to speak the scripture as is? A lot of times I think of Old Testament prophet. I'm like, oh, they're so cool. But then when I really think of the details, like, do I really want to eat food cooked over poop? I don't know if I want to be Ezekiel, you know?
Totally.
I want to be that crazy dude that's like trying to, you know, wave his sword, trying to cut hair. It's like, no, I really don't want to. But that's part of being faithful, right? That's part of serving God. A question I love to ask the Lord is, Lord, teach me how to love you rightly. Because a lot of times our definition of love is very different from how God loves God.
Yeah.
How we love one another is very different from what it means to really embrace all that he has given us through the cross and through his resurrection, and that we will see in the glory days. But when it comes down to, I think recently, one of the things that, well, maybe not recently, but this also crosses my mind. It's dark, just a warning, but it's kind of like, there will come a day where my friends and family or people I love and care about, if, you know, just like my sister in Christ is Georgie, she will get tortured before me, and I have to, the only thing I have to do is to deny Christ, and then she will be free.
I know, that's a lot harder than just for your own life.
Exactly.
He's like, can you do it, Angela?
But then when it's your daughter, when it's your son.
I know. And that's happened in history already.
Yeah, totally. But then you think, because the scripture says, right, you know, the world will recognize that we are his disciples by the way we love one another. And so you're like, well, how is that love?
Totally.
How are you loving the other person by watching them, you know? And then you have to live with that for the rest of your days.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, like, it takes to a whole nother level of what does Jesus mean when in John 13, he washed his disciples' feet. And in some translations, not all, but in some, it says that Jesus loved them perfectly. He's like, wait, I don't understand what is loving them perfectly.
Yeah.
What? You know, and so it goes back to the questions like, Lord, teach me how to love you every day in my daily choices of, do I read your word? Do I actually love your word every day?
Yeah. And I mean, because those daily choices, that those daily gestures, that's where it starts. It's not like
totally.
A sudden choice. And then you're like, am I going to do it the right way? It's a little choices that lead you to a place that no matter how difficult or how hard or how, I mean, that's so painful to think about having to choose my daughter's health or safety or whatever because of my faith in Christ. But hopefully the daily choices of how we lived, how I raised my kids and everything leads to a point where I stand firm on an eternal hope and not on this material, temporary hope. But you know what I'm saying? It's like those choices do matter because they lead to that. And, you know, that's actually where it culminates. In our final episode, we're going to hit apostolic power. Because it doesn't, when we think apostolic, we think power. We think the healings, the signs and wonders, the, you know, the cool stories that are written in scripture, you know, they're really cool. I mean, come on, Peter's shadow heals a guy. Like, come on, like, how can you top that? You know, thousands get saved in a day. Like, it's just, wow, this is powerful. And we like look and we have these role models. Like, I see myself as a modern day Peter, a modern day Paul. But we realize that the power emerges from a message that was cultivated from a lifestyle of servanthood that you can see was forged by their prayers ultimately was a reflection of their love that they gained from Christ, you know? And of course that's what results in apostolic impact.
Yeah. Amen.
It's all of it, but it's not just the power. The power is just the sign.
Yeah. No, and I'm thinking like how do we cultivate that servant spirit? And I'm thinking like the series that we just did on the foreigner lifestyle, you know, and just thinking how it really goes paired the lifestyle of the apostles, the lifestyle of John the Baptist, the prophets. I would even encourage some of the listeners to go back and listen to those, like pray daily, fast weekly. There is 7 commitments of a foreigner, or how to grow spiritually into developing this heart of a servant of the Lord that we all want to be eventually. So I just want to encourage listeners to that.
That's that was great. A great series. Actually, just listened to it. I was mowing my lawn, and I'm like, oh, sure. Because I really touched me, particularly the one with Dana Candler when we're talking about fasting.
Ooh,
oh gosh, I just need
to. Stirs the pot, doesn't it?
Gosh. So good.
Which, you know, apostles, they led communities. They would fast 2 days a week. It was very normal, Wednesdays and Fridays. Totally. And they just didn't do it Tuesday, Thursday, which was the standard because they were wanting to be different.
Totally. But I think what's so important about all these messages, and even Nani, what you were saying of like, hey, I encourage you to dive into these teachings and actually live them, is that we can't do it apart from each other.
Yeah.
It's like Angela has something which no one else can bring to the table. And because of who God made you to be, you can cultivate and stir something in my heart that I couldn't get from anybody else, and vice versa. Yeah. I have something, British tea, that I can bring to you, which will cause you to love God more. And I'm like, we can't do it in and of ourselves. We have to be a family apostles. We have to be a family of servants, continuing to serve and love one another, that we can all stand on each other's backs to get higher and higher and higher and higher. Like that's the aim come the end. And I don't know, it's so stirring and moving and provoking.
Honestly,
all
and
time.
I think at least for our spiritual family here, the convergence, which we are now beginning to throw around a term called the convergence culture.
Yes.
Like not that it's ours, like God did it. Like we didn't create it, like because we're smart or great. God gifted it to us through the Chinese. Yeah. It was an awkwardly beautiful thing that happened to us because we were not wanting it or expecting it. And all of a sudden, wham. And here we are. And it's almost like God gifted us the apostolic community.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it's like they met together. They shared things. They honored one another.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. A funny little story. I gave birth the last day of the convergence. And as soon as I held my little baby girl in my arms, I turned to Jacob and I was like, I just want the Chinese to be here. It was like so weird to even have that thought. But it was like, I suddenly felt like they were my family and I needed them to come and celebrate me. I was like, we get to share in this joy together of this new birth, this new creation. And it's so bizarre, but it's like, it still touches my heart today. I'm like, I suddenly felt like we were one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like that feeling, can you imagine like if it's a Jewish and an Arab, you know, like if it's different culture, it's not just one ethnicity, but that I want all of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want the whole body of Christ to celebrate with me in this one moment. And our hearts can genuinely celebrate one another in promotion, cry with one another in demotion, in grief. You know, what does that look like? When we truly love as one and move as right. one, you know?
Well, you know, I love that. I mean, because right here, you're the only one that's native language was English.
True. English, not American. English is very different.
Yeah. British English. Thank you. It's proper English. No, but the rest, you know, like we all grew in very different contexts.
Yes.
Different worlds. And it's beautiful how we have this shared hope, this shared message, this shared love for him. And I think that that's what we can learn from the apostles, the early church. And I'm excited to dig into this next series, you know, bunch of episodes on the apostolic really impact. So
I'm excited for this one. I think, too, apostolic love definitely causes any divide within culture to be completely broken.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm super excited for this series.
Me too.
So if you have missed our previous podcast, please go ahead and find us on Spotify, YouTube, any outlet that you have. And if you go ahead and subscribe, you'll find every episode you could ever desire. And we look forward to seeing you next week, 2 p.m. Central Time.
Peace.